Welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will join us at 6:30, live from Prague over in the Czech Republic. The Nashville Predators kicking off their season coming up tomorrow against the San Jose Sharks. We'll check up with Gentry coming up at 6:30. The best and worst things in sports at 6:45, and our good friend Jared Stillman joining the program at 7 o'clock as well. So a lot to get to very early in the program today. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you? First mute of the day for Rexroad.
Unbelievable. Nailed it. I had a great comment, too. I'm not going to say it now. I have no comment on how I am. Because I don't deserve to say how I am because I muted myself to start the show. How about that?
Michelle Knezovic, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I just got a nice laugh because I turned to look to make sure I wasn't muting him. And I was like, okay, cool. That one's on Joe.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
It was all me.
100% responsibility for Joe Rexroad. Joe, interesting one tonight. The Indianapolis Colts taking on the Denver Broncos in Thursday night football. I don't expect a very high-scoring Thursday night football, given the fact that this is two of the three lowest-scoring teams in the NFL, but sometimes Thursday night football can surprise us. My question for you, Joe Rexroad, is this that nice term that we throw around a lot in sports, is this a, quote, must-win for the Indianapolis Colts tonight as they go on the road to take on Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos?
It's up there again. One and four last year, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So, you know, you could look at that and say, well, you know, they figured it out last year. I mean, no Jonathan Taylor. So, already, you know, you don't love their chances. But they could certainly use it. You know, one thing I haven't actually done, is look at, I mean, I did before the season, which is part of the brilliant choice of picking them to win the AFC South. But, you know, I haven't, since this got going, I've looked again at their schedule. You know, the thing is, they can lose this game, and then they get the Jags at home, and they come to Nashville. So they lose this game, and maybe somewhere in there get Jonathan Taylor back, and all of a sudden they get themselves a 3-3-1 by beating those two teams in the divisions. And then, by the way, they got Commanders and Patriots after that. You know,
well, they're going to lose Commanders. The Carson Wentz revenge tour game will be too much for them to overcome. I'm already writing it down.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Yes.
Imagine how push-ups they'll do that week. My God.
Pulling that plow through the snow. But you know, you look at their schedule. They do have. I mean, they've got Steelers on there, and I mean, Giants, Texans at the end. Yeah, I mean it's a very important game, but it's the next two either end or, you know, like if they win both or lose both after this in the division, that's where their season either like it's okay. What's the draft pick or okay? Well, here they are again, somehow figuring it out after a brutal start. I could see either scenario, even though I don't think they're good.
Well, the odds are stacked against them tonight. I mean, you're going on the road first off, and that's on Thursday Night Football, and you know that short turnaround, it's tough to do anyway when you're completely healthy. And now Jonathan Taylor ruled out tonight, which, by the way, the first time that he's going to miss a game in his career. Apparently, high school, college, or NFL football is the first time that he's missing a game, which at that position is just remarkable. So that's kind of the thing in and of itself with Jonathan Taylor. But also no Shaq Leonard. He's got a concussion and a broken nose, apparently. So he's going to be out today as well. So you're talking about your best player on the offensive side of the ball in Jonathan Taylor, and probably, I mean, I guess arguably, your best player on the defensive side of the ball in Shaq Leonard, and you're not going to have either one of them tonight if you're the Colts. That's not a great hand to be dealt on Thursday Night Football.
No. The good thing is the Broncos aren't very good either.
They're not.
So, I mean, they did at least finally show some signs of life offensively, you know, in the last game. They've been tough to watch. You know, home, like you said, it's their home. It's a primetime game. And they did figure out a way to get up to 23 points in the Raiders' first win of the season. I mean, but yeah, the win over the Niners, I mean, 11-10 over the Niners. Ooh. I mean, that's, you know, the Niners were a good team. The Texans game was just ugly, 16-9. And of course, like you said, you know, this is like a totally a game to hit the under. They just smash the under, but then it'll end up being like 37-34 because sure, why not?
Yeah, why not? Going to be a nice 38-35 game tonight on Thursday Night Football. It's going to be awesome to watch. Little Nathaniel Hackett coaching job again on national TV. I know you're looking forward to that one tonight. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I might protest watching a game because he hasn't been fired. You know, fired after first game. But, yeah, man. I mean, that's your guy.
Yeah, it's been a tough start. It's been a tough start for Mr. Hackett. But you know what? It's early in the season. Like you said, they started to figure things out offensively a little bit in the last game. So we'll see if they can keep it going tonight. I know a lot of Titans fans are going to be rooting for Nathaniel Hackett and the Denver Broncos tonight for sure. So we'll see what happens on that front. I am interested, like, if you're Matt Ryan, knowing that Jonathan Taylor's not in this game, you know, like you said last week, there were some moments where he looked pretty good and the Colts protected him pretty well. And they were able to move the ball offensively. You know, Denver's got a pretty good defense, and they've got the ability to get after the quarterback as well. That offensive line has been a problem for Indianapolis all year, and I wonder if they can keep Matt Ryan upright enough tonight for him to deliver the ball down the field. This is going to be I'm really interested to see how the Colts come out in this game because there's a ton of negativity around them right now, both – you know, with their own media locally and their fans locally and just the way things have gone thus far, you're 1-2-1 on the season. Like, you need to have this one if you're the Colts. And I'm interested to see if they can come out and get anything done. They've been pretty terrible to begin games this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is it's been consistent just coming out and looking awful. 17-point deficit at least in every game, which is, I mean, like, I don't think you can do that if you're not bad, right? Is it possible to fall behind by 17 in every game if you aren't bad? And they'd
be tough.
I mean, they fought back. It's actually incredible. They got that tie still, you know, in the opener. And yeah, they're definitely, the tone has changed. That's for sure in Indy when it comes to the Colts. I mean, now there's a lot of, you know, I hear a lot of, it's one thing like Jared says, for example. Maybe this is something we can bring up with Jared. Jared's a big believer that, like, the Colts are estimated the way they are, overestimated the way they are because people like me, national media, like Chris Ballard, you know, or like Frank Reich, you know. I don't think that's really a big deal. I mean, I'm sure that's true with some people, and there are some, you know, coaches and GMs who are more open to media than others. And okay, sure, like, relationships can, you know, affect, I guess, how people feel. But for the most part, like, I looked at the Colts and thought they were good too. I just think that there's a lot of elements of their roster that just have kind of faded a little. I mean, you know, again, the offensive line I thought was good. And last year, once I got going, it was. I mean, that was just last season. It's not like it's been a year of bad offensive line and we just ignored it. They just, you know, I mean, obviously offensive tackle hasn't been addressed, but I think the defensive roster also, I mean, I certainly overestimated it. You know, like, how good is that defensive roster? There are players, that's where they're old, and there's players who have been really good. But, like, I didn't really notice much from Yannick Ngakoue the other day, you know? And get like Stephon Gilmore, I mean, I think he's an upgrade for them, but he's not peak Stephon Gilmore, right? So I don't, you know. Anyway, maybe that's something to bring up with Jared. I think that's a sideshow. You know, the reality is they're just a team that right now is not close to what they're supposed to be on paper, and maybe they won't get there.
Well, and they've had basically no Shaq Leonard the whole year too. I mean, he played, made his season debut against the Titans, and then all of a sudden you're talking about a concussion and a broken nose, which, if memory serves me correctly, I think he got the broken nose from a little friendly fire in that game. So
yeah,
it's a tough one. He did. Tough one for Shaq Leonard to begin the season.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Zaire Franklin is a good player coming in for him. That's the thing. I mean, on some of those plays that got blown up in the second half, it was Franklin in there who was blowing him up. But still, I mean, Shaq Leonard has been, well, when he was Darius, he was very good.
He was.
Okay. So, yeah. So maybe he needs to change the name back. But, yeah, I still feel like, you know, Pay and Odiengbo and Buckner, like, I still feel like they have the makings of at least a decent team. But, yeah, I mean, as of, as of the middle, late stages of this month, we'll know if they still have a pulse or not.
How much noise is on Frank Reich tomorrow if we wake up and start the show and the Colts are 1-3-1?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when it comes down to it, Frank Reich has got to be separated from Chris Ballard in this situation. Although, you know what? You could make the case, like, okay, so has Ballard really done a great job? Is it smart to just band-aid your quarterback year after year after year? I mean, his answer back would be like, what am I supposed to do? We could tank, you know, but yeah, I would say of the two, it's Reich. And, there's just been too many puzzling losses with some strange decisions by him. And he just doesn't seem right now like he has a real
bless you.
Excuse me. Thank you. Doesn't seem like he has a real strong, handle of the situation right now.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll look at the Predators, including a pretty mystifying situation to begin the season for the Nashville Predators as well. We'll get to that coming up next. Make sure you start NFL Week 5 off the right way with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get free bets back if your Thursday night same-game parlay doesn't hit. NFL same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Thursday night football tonight, the Colts and the Broncos. Give me the Broncos on the money line. Give me the under in total points scored. I think it's going to be an ugly one tonight, but you take it any way you want to take it. Build your own or choose from one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play, you can bet the NFL on Thursday night with a no-sweat same-game parlay. Just sign up with promo code ROB if you don't already have an account. If you already have FanDuel, you are all set. Just sign in to see what you've got. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3+ legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. A max free bet of $5. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
What's the deal with Tomasino? Is he injured? He is clearly better than Tolvi, so him being injured is the only way I can see him not being in the lineups.
He is not injured. So it is, at this point, a coach's decision. And just, I got to say, you have to just deal with the beginning of the season. I'm telling you, it takes 10, 20 games before it shakes out. I would not panic if a guy isn't in there in the first game. It just clearly says to me that even though I believe that the entire coaching staff, the organization as a whole, David Poyle, they would love for Phil Tomasino to jump up and grab that spot, he just hasn't earned it in camp right now. You got to play the players who have earned the spots right now, and it's been a good competition. And right now, it's just, I think, a show of depth. It's a message that they're sending to Phil Tomasino. And I believe his time will come. But I think you're in a vacuum. I agree with, is it Michael that asked the question? I agree with Michael. Phil Tomasino is one of the 12 best forwards on the team. But if he hasn't earned the job, he hasn't earned the job. And so we'll see if that changes. I would think they'll probably roll with the similar lineup for opening day. And then we'll see how it evolves. You guys know, it just takes one guy to get hurt, one guy to slump, and there'll be an opportunity for somebody else to get in there. And Tomasino hopefully will be hungry and ready to go.
That was Willie Donick yesterday live from Prague discussing the Filip Tomasino situation heading into the season for the Nashville Predators. Preds get rolling tomorrow at 1 o'clock here local time. They're over in Prague taking on the San Jose Sharks to begin the regular season. They'll play tomorrow, and they'll play on Saturday at 1 o'clock as well. So a nice back-to-back set to begin the season for the Nashville Predators. And Joe Rexroad, if the last week or so of training camp slash preseason is any indication, doesn't look like Filip Tomasino is going to be in the top six, and I guess there's a chance he's not going to be in the lineup at all coming up on Friday as the Predators get rolling here against the San Jose Sharks. What do you make of that, and what do you make of this situation with Filip Tomasino heading into the regular season as the Predators get things rolling tomorrow?
Well, first of all, I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. And I still have to think, I mean, is it possible there's some minor injury involved here or something? I don't know. Maybe not. So does it just mean, like, did he not have a good off season? That'd be very disappointing, right? I mean, this is an incredible opportunity for him. He seized the opportunity last year. The reality of last year's opportunity was, can you make this team and just be in the NHL? And he did, and he showed, I thought, substantial promise. And so I'm puzzled by this because there's like job opening right there, flashing lights, like someone take this spot and try to make a consistent line with great chemistry that plays together for a long time with Johansson and Niederreiter. I don't know who else. I mean, like, I'm going to admit, I don't know a lot about Kiefer Sherwood, you know, but I know the other contenders for that spot on this team. I would not like their chances. I didn't like their chances going in against Tomasino. So, Sherwood is a little bit older guy at 27. He hasn't played much in the NHL. Was he had like seven career games? Or no, I'm sorry, not seven.
Yeah, 87 career games.
Yeah, 87 games and seven goals. Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with what Willie said. It's like, hey, man, if you're not a meritocracy that's based on, come on, here's the ice, let's go, who's going to perform, then what are you doing? I mean, you have to approach it that way. So from that perspective, I mean, I think that's how you want your coaching staff to do things. I really have to think there's something going on with Tomasino that we don't know about.
Well, I would caution people to not to panic at this point. I mean, I would like to remind people, Cody Glass made the team last year, played two games, and then spent 60 games in Milwaukee. Like, I wouldn't read a whole lot into the first couple of games if you're the Predators. I still believe that at some point, he's going to get a look here in the top six, and then it's up to him once the games start and once the games matter to take advantage of that look. And look, you know, I still thought as the year went on last year, and we know how important this is with John Hines, and you can criticize him for this if you want, but I think it's pretty clear that this is important to him. You know, you better be able to play away from the puck too, and that's going to be something that the Predators value a lot. Now, you know, at some point, does his offensive ability and the playmaking ability that I believe he has, is that just too much to keep him out of the top six? It may be. Like, I think he certainly got a lot of ability there. So I wouldn't panic yet. Now, I will say, like, if he's not in the lineup at all coming up on Friday, that's a little weird to me. Like, he's in the lineup the whole year last year as a rookie, pretty much. And, I mean, I know he was a healthy scratch, I think, for one game in the playoffs, but for the most part, he's in the lineup last year. You know, I would imagine that he's had a pretty good offseason. I mean, he's looked fine out there to me. It's not like he's, you know, just been totally disappointing. Now, I will say, when that line was together and they played together in the preseason game, the first preseason game against Florida, I didn't think it was very good, and Ryan Johansson talked about it after the game. They needed a lot of work. So I know they ended up scoring a goal at the end of the game, but I didn't think that they really controlled play anywhere near the amount of which they should in terms of the lineup that Florida had out there. So maybe John Hines just didn't like what he saw. I mean, he had them together the first three or four days of camp, and maybe he just didn't like what he saw from that line the first three or four days of camp, and you go back to it at some point. But – You know, I know what the response from the Predators fans is well, all that's great, but you're telling me that Kiefer Sherwood is going to be the answer in the top six? I mean, the guy's got 7 career goals in the NHL. Now, I will say, he did score 36 last year and put up 75 points in the AHL, but I understand. We've seen guys light it up in the AHL before, and it doesn't translate to the National Hockey League. So, I wouldn't panic yet. I think it's pretty clear that they're still looking for somebody at that right wing spot right now.
But like you said, I mean, if he's not in the lineup at all, like, I mean, that's gotta mean something. And I agree. I mean, like you said, long season, a lot of things can change even in the first month. But that would be a real puzzler for me if he's just not in the lineup. That says either one, he's dealing with something. Which, you know, again, if that's the case, I mean, that's something where like that's. That's worthwhile to let people know, right?
Yeah.
Because this is just, you know, Tomasino is one of those guys that obviously fans are very excited about. People talk about, we talk about. So it would be worthwhile to let people know. And if that's not it, then again, I hear you, like, long season, who knows what's going to happen. But at this very moment, I would have to call that disappointing, because Tomasino has gone through a whole season with John Hines, knows what he's looking for. Like, if this is defensive responsibility, you know, I'm not surprised if, like, there's still, you know, work to be done there from Tomasino to figure it out. But again, he was in the lineup all last year. He knows John Hines now. He knows the expectations. So going into the offseason, you got to know whatever you need to do after you have your exit meeting with the coaches to put yourself in the best possible position. And then you come back here, and if you're healthy and you're just not in the lineup, you know, again, there's something not adding up there. Tomasino, I think this also goes to the fact that they're recent young guys who the idea is, you know, as the mainstays get older, you got another crew of younger guys who are ready to take the mantle. And right now you've seen reduced roles from Tolvin and reduced role from Fabro. You know, you've got like a great story in Tanner, as you know, but you need more of these young guys to live up to and maybe exceed expectations here pretty soon.
Well, and you need one of them to grab a role in the top six. Like, you drafted Eli Tolvanen to be a top six forward, and you've drafted Philip Tomasino to be a top six forward. You know, I think a lot of people have given up on Eli Tolvanen at this point, and I mean, I understand it, but you need somebody that you've drafted to be a top six forward to step in and fill those reins. I mean, look, Philip Tomasino is still, I mean, when we talk about Tolvanen, we talk about Cody Glass. Philip Tomasino is younger than both of them, so it's important to keep that in mind as they move forward here. He is still very young, so he will get better. I mean, he's going to continue to improve as they go along here, but what you don't want to do and what you don't want to have happen if you're John Hines and the Predators is to just be searching for a right winger all season long to play with Niederreiter and Johansson. Like, you need somebody to step up and assume that role. And I still think Tomasino, as the whole season goes on, is probably the most likely candidate to do that. But it's not a great start, not an encouraging start if he's not in there coming up on Friday against San Jose. Speaking of that, we'll be joined by Gentry Estes of the Tennessean coming up next, live from Prague. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as they begin their season coming up tomorrow. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from OrderGreen.com.
I do. OrderGreen.com, which is the nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. It's fantastic products, folks. You've got edibles, gummies, vapes, flowers, a wide selection, high-quality THC, CBD products. Very strong benefits for me. You know, these are products that can help you if you got stress and anxiety, if you've got physical inflammation, which sometimes I do after I go on the basketball court and dominate or get dominated. Terrific products. The team at OrderGreen.com has great knowledge. You're getting high quality stuff from reputable providers, and you're getting nationwide same day delivery right to your doorstep. If you get a subscription, you get 25% off every shipment of gummies. And if you use promo code JOE20, you get 20% off your first purchase at OrderGreen.com.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean, who is live in Prague as the Nashville Predators are set to begin their season coming up tomorrow against the San Jose Sharks. Gentry, good morning, or I guess in your case, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, it's going well, guys. I told Michelle I'm perfectly well-suited for the 6 o'clock hour right now.
Never been more well-suited in your life. Gentry, what's your experience been like thus far over in Switzerland to begin things and now in Prague?
Oh, it's been fun. Fun trip. A lot going on. A lot of jet lag to get over. I guess I'm kind of getting there for that now. But came over, spent a few days in Switzerland, which was gorgeous. Just a great experience there. The exhibition game there against SC Bern was one of the cooler things I've probably ever witnessed as a sports writer. Roman Josi's return was obviously a big deal for the people there, and you had 17,000 people. It felt like it felt more like a European soccer match than it did hockey. Chance, and it was just a very cool experience. And I think as you move over to Prague. The team's about to practice here in about an hour and a half. I'm at the arena as I'm speaking to you, and it's feeling a little more business-like now. I think you're seeing, it's been a fun trip to this point for the team, but I think the game faces are starting to come on a little bit, and, starting tomorrow the games count.
You're not just going to, stay over there and, backpack across Europe for the next year, are you? You're considering this, aren't you?
It's tough to want to come back at this point. It's been a fun trip. It's been a heck of an experience. You don't normally get to do this sort of thing, and I think I think the Preds are kind of viewing it that way too. This is such a unique thing that they set it up to where they went through Bern, pretty much for Josi, and that was his hometown, and for him and Nino Niederreiter, who's from Switzerland, the homecoming they received was off the charts. The two of them did a lot of work with some local youth teams. We visited a hospital with them. They did so much, and you could just see in the people's faces how much it meant to them to see those guys, but also to see an NHL team. This is a really big deal for the people here, and I think the Preds certainly sensed that. It's a little different in Prague, though, because you're going against the San Jose Sharks, and this setup here at the arena, Joe, it feels like an NCAA tournament to me. The arena is very much like that. The setup for everything is very much like that, and I think it's going to have a much different feel than the game the other night.
All right, so we've been talking a lot about Philip Tomasino. A little bit puzzling to me, Gentry, that. He's not in the lineup for the exhibition. He's apparently at this point not a contender, as far as we know, to be the sixth forward there in the top six. What's your sense for that situation?
Well, I think in the exhibition game, the goal was to get a longer look at Kiefer Sherwood, who I think has made. I think he's impressed this training camp. I think he's had a really good camp, and they're excited about what they may have added there, and surprisingly so a little bit with a guy who's kind of been a fringe NHL player for a few years now. So I think that was the goal. Hines said going into that game that the lineups were going to be very close to what it looked like in the regular season, but maybe not, all the way identical. So that's obviously a big question for a guy when Tomasino, who I think most people, when you look at the Preds, would expect to be taking a big step this year. I think that's, this is a franchise that really doesn't have a lot of those guys, first round picks who are kind of candidates to have breakout seasons. There's a lot more veteran influence among the top guys with the Preds. So I think, especially when you see with Ellie Tolvanen, they haven't really got him going. So I think Tomasino is a big deal for this team. So if he's not someone they're going to rely on, I think that would surprise me.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, live from Prague, as the Predators are set to practice before they take on the San Jose Sharks tomorrow. And Gentry, we were tossing this question around yesterday too on the show. Obviously, you know, you get swept by Colorado, a disappointing end to your season last year, and then you watch Colorado do what they did in the playoffs. Predators make some moves. They make some additions with Niederreiter and McDonough over the offseason. And the question we threw out there is, what are the expectations for this team? What should the expectations for this Predators team be in your mind heading into this year?
I mean, I think that's – I think the question has kind of been the same the whole time I've been here when it comes to the Predators. I think you expect them to be pretty good, but the question being, can they take that next step when it matters most? It's not unlike the Titans. And I think – certainly with the moves this offseason, there's reason to look at this team and see a way in which they can be better. But I think what I go back to is there were a lot of things that went right for the Preds to be as good as they were last season. Career years from several key guys, Duchesne, Forsberg, you know, Yossi almost went to North again with almost 100 points. I mean, I don't know if you can expect to maintain that for another year, two, three. Was that a high watermark for those guys? And if so, who will step in to kind of fill that void to where they can maintain the status of a team that barely made the playoffs last year? So I think you can look at it one of two ways. You can say, yeah, they did get better this offseason when you're building off what they were able to accomplish last season. But I think the big question is, are they going to be able to maintain some of what they were able to accomplish last season?
I know, Gentry, you wrote a really good piece about Niederreiter. What is your sense for what Niederreiter and McDonough bring in all aspects of what they bring to this roster?
Yeah, I think they added two winners, two guys who have been part of good teams. They know what it takes to win in this league. Good dudes, good additions. I like both of those a lot. And, just being around them and kind of getting a better sense for how they're fitting in with the team, I think those are really strong additions. I truly believe that both of those guys make the team much better. Especially, I think a guy like Niederreiter really does fit how they want to play and what they want to do. I mean, I remember two years ago in the playoff series against Carolina, he was a pain. I mean, I remember that. And I think the Preds all do too. And, it was good to see, I think, some direction, right? I mean, for years we've been saying, are they rebuilding? Are they not? Are they getting better? This was an offseason where they did make moves to get better. They had the cap space to do it, and they took advantage of it.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on with us on Robbie and Rex Road. And Gentry, I've always been told, you know, Roman Yossi in Switzerland is kind of like a rock star. Like, nobody's going to confuse him for Roger Federer over there. But watching it in person, watching kind of his reception in his hometown, what was that like? And did that maybe give you a different perspective of exactly how he's viewed over there?
Yeah, I mean, it was special. It really was. Really from start to finish. From the time, there are people waiting on the team at the airport for him to sign things, and just the demands on his time were incredible. And you guys know Roman. I mean, he was just cool and patient and, loved every second of it. You know, he never got flustered. He never got bothered. I think he really enjoyed every moment of that. And I think that was the whole point to going through Bern. The Preds could have gone anywhere. They, the Sharks were in Berlin as a jumping off point to this game here. And, to go to Bern, they've been playing it a few years. That was clearly for Roman. And it really was special to see him, when they play SC Bern, his old club and the team that, the arena he grew up 5 minutes away from there, riding his bike to practice. After the game, he's leading cheers, and it really was special. It was a special atmosphere for anybody who was there that night, but for him, it was, for a guy who's had a pretty remarkable career in the NHL, he's called it the best moment, and I think it probably will be that way for him, unless maybe the Preds go win the Cup.
Gentry, Kevin Lankinen has played well. I was a little bit confusing. A lot of people were when they signed him. Obviously didn't have a good year last year. What do you think of him, and what do you think if he is the backup? Do you think that's going to be a significant upgrade over what they had last year with Riddick?
You know, I don't know. I was surprised by that too, Joe. I think coming out of the playoff series, one of the few bright spots in that series was how Ingram played in game two. He nearly stole him a game in Denver. And I think you would come out of that being like, well, you know who the backup's going to be, and that's not the case. I do. I think Lankinen is in line to be the number two after getting that start in Bern while they rested Yusi. And so I think they like him. I think they've liked what they've seen this training camp, and they feel comfortable with him being that guy. I think it is a big question, I think, for the season. Can you find a guy to eat up a few more starts and not have to tax Saras as much as, you know, maybe they did before? And feel, you get a guy in there that you feel like can handle that. So I do think there's some optimism around the team about him. I think they like what they have there. And, you know, if you were to ask me, why not Ingram? I don't really have a good answer to that. I really felt like he would have been the backup, but that's not how it played out.
Well, Ginger, we've really enjoyed your coverage thus far from Switzerland and now from Prague as well. Enjoy yourself over there, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys. Enjoyed it. Like a slice of home there talking to y'all.
That's right. Absolutely. Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do, Robbie. And I want to know, can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odd makers in Las Vegas. No fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines in American sports, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at Superbook in Las Vegas. You want to take a look at a little Thursday night football action? We got the Colts heading to Denver to face the Broncos. I'm going to take the Colts plus the 3, but I think ultimately that the Denver Broncos will come out with the win, so I'm going to take them on the money line. If you want to look ahead to Sunday, we got Tennessee versus the Commanders. Tennessee's minus 2.5. Give me the Tennessee Titans minus the 2.5. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So download the Superbook app or visit superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Normally, Joe Rexroad goes first in your best and worst things in sports, but we're switching it up today. Michelle Knezovic's going first. Michelle, would you like to begin with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
I would love to, and now I know that for sure Joe will not take my best and worst.
That's why we're throwing a little curveball today.
This is great. We love this. Okay, so I'm going to start with my worst in sports.
Okay.
My worst in sports is the reports that surfaced. It kind of was the end of last week / the beginning of this week surrounding the Tua Tagovailoa situation and saying that ultimately the doctor who gave him this concussion protocol test during the Bills game didn't follow the specific directions that you were supposed to follow when doing that test. And I'm not a doctor, so I don't know any of those, but apparently that he didn't do what he was supposed to do and during a game. And that is just very, very frightening, you know, because we know how tough of a game this is. We know what happened to Tua. We saw it on camera. And for a doctor to not follow the specific requirements, very scary, but good thing that the NFL looked into this and made sure to fire him so he doesn't have the opportunity to do that anymore. So scary situation all around, but that's my worst in sports. My best thing in sports is Patrick Mahomes looking like an absolute point guard with his spin little lob into the end zone. If you haven't seen that video, just type in Patrick Mahomes spin flick pass. I was sitting on my couch watching that. He is incredible. Like, Patrick Mahomes, he does it again. So he just spins, and I'm like, he literally looked like a point guard out there. He just spinned and lobbed it up. I'm like, you're incredible. And then I just have to honorable mention best in sports. One of my students at MTSU, Noah Brady, won an award at the Tennessee Broadcasters Association awards on Tuesday for their sports coverage at MTSU. So
nice.
Shout out to him for that. So those are my best and worst in sports this week. And Joe, I got to go first.
Way to go, Noah. Joe Rexroad, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
About Noah. That's so unfair that she got to go first. Oh, wait, maybe I should join the show and take part in the show. Well, and I must say, you took my worst, Michelle. But I'll do a different.
See how it feels. Aspect.
Yes, it hurts. It hurts, man. I can tell you what. But I'll do a different aspect of that. On the whole thing around Tua, if anybody hasn't, or I guess you could also put this as a best in terms of Dominique Foxworth from ESPN had a really good rant about this, and to summarize it, you know. He's like, okay, so I'm seeing all these people screaming about Tua and the NFL and safety and all this stuff. And he's like, but then, you know, when players don't want Thursday games or try to collectively bargain things for safety, or get more, of the money because of the, well, I mean, look, they did collectively bargain playing on Thursday nights, but you know, trying to make it worth their while and things like that. He's like, where's the energy on that? Like, let's have the same energy, you know, that a lot of what players are doing when they're dealing with the league is one, they are trying to, increase the safety measures and they've done a lot of things, but also, you know, it's, I mean, this is, he had a great point. He's like, you know, every single Sunday, a whole bunch of people get another step closer to having serious, you know, mental issues later in their life. And he said, hey, that's what people sign up for. I mean, everybody knows the score here. There's a danger here. It's been demonstrated, but just keep that same energy. And I thought he had a great point and he said it way better than I just said it right there. So find Dominique Foxworth.
I thought you nailed it.
Yeah, I really didn't, but I think it was on GetUp. I think that's right. So that was really good. My best is, let's go back to what we just talked about with Gentry. I just think first of all, it's hockey this week, which is awesome. I'm never ready for hockey season, but it's okay. Let's go. You know, hockey season is rocking and rolling this week, which is awesome. But just the scene, you know, in Bern. Like, how many times do you get an opportunity to do that? If you're a professional, you know, if you're I know a lot of these guys in the NHL, they do end up getting to play for their country and things like that, which is amazing. But to be with their team, with their NHL team, and have an experience like Roman Josi just did, there can't be many who get an opportunity like that. So shout out to the Preds for making that happen. Like Gentry said, they could have gone anywhere. And it looks like, you know, watching on TV, it just looked like it was about as amazing as you could imagine.
Yep, looked really cool in Bern. Nice game between SC Bern and the Predators, and good to see Roman Josi get kind of that reaction from the crowd. It was really, really cool. My best thing in sports, Kansas football, baby. 5-0, number 19 in the AP poll. Lance Leopold's doing some things down there. Look, you know, I don't know how long this is gonna last and how good they're gonna be as they move forward here. But Joe, you know this: when you start to list off like the worst football programs in America, up until this year, it doesn't take very long before you get to Kansas. And the fact that he's come in there and they're at 5-0 right now. They had this nice cool drone shot from their game last week where the place is packed in there, people are fired up, the drone's flying around, and there's fireworks going off left and right. It just looks like people are bought in at Kansas. And again, I don't know how long it's going to last. And, you know, I don't know if Leopold's going to lead to go be the next head coach of Wisconsin or what's going to happen there at that point. But 5-0, number 19 in the AP poll. I never thought I'd see the day where Kansas was even approaching being ranked in the top 25. And Joe Rexroad, here we are. It's been pretty cool.
Yeah, it's wild. And, you know, Lance Leopold. Now, you know, to be fair to Kansas, yes, first of all, you're absolutely right. I mean, they just traditionally, it's like incredible basketball, terrible football. Glenn Mason did have a good run in the 90s.
He did.
There. And Mark Mangino had, I mean, Mark Mangino did get him to 12-1 in the, and an Orange Bowl win in a number seven final ranking 15 years ago. And, you know, he did more than you ever would have guessed. But for the most part, it's just been one. And then they've hired guys like Les Miles goes 3-18.
Yeah.
You know, in 2 years there. So Lance Leopold, a guy who, by the way, Vanderbilt interviewed when they hired Clark Lee and liked a lot. So I know some, I mean, I don't want to hijack. I know you got to do your worst, but I will say on this, if you're a Vanderbilt fan right now, it's like, oh, Lance Leopold, just understand Lance Leopold is not going to be in Kansas very long.
I don't think so. I think there's a chance he may not be there by the end of this year, but we'll see what happens on that front. My worst things in sports, I've seen a lot of this week, and I understand it because we're 4 weeks into an NFL season now, and you're starting to get maybe an idea of who's going to be good, who's going to be bad. College football is well underway, so a lot of good quarterback play thus far. But can we chill on the mock drafts a little bit? Like the mock drafts on October the 4th the other day, looking ahead at next year's quarterback class, I'm like, do you know how much information there is to achieve and to collect between now and the next NFL draft? Like, do you know how much changes in the quarterback process between now and then? Like, can we give it a little bit of a rest on, like, the draft conversation? Maybe that's just me. Maybe I still have NFL draft fatigue from last April. I don't know. But can we just chill on the mock drafts for, like, a second in the NFL? That's all I'm asking for. Just a second.
I mean, we are a mock draft society.
We are.
Maybe we should just mock draft everything all the time, you know? Because, I mean, it is amazing how it's gotten to the point where, I mean, you know, you've also got the, and I click on them the day after the draft. I click on them. All right. What's the 23 draft looking like?
You know? You are part of the problem.
I know. I am. And that's the thing. I mean, I complain about it too. And then I can't not click. Sorry.
By the way, a lot of love for C.J. Stroud right now. So just in case you were wondering, C.J. Stroud getting a lot of love in the mock draft circles. That's going to do it for Best and Worst Things in Sports. We'll take your submissions all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our good friend Jared Stillman. A little makeshift version of Jared versus Joe coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.